You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Antoine Winfield Jr., safety for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Walter Payton Man of the Year, and this is NFL Report.
Welcome into the NFL Report. James Palmer, Steve Weich with you. He did not mention that he is an All-Pro, because that happened before he was an All-Pro, Steve. He also didn't mention that he's a franchise-tagged safety, one of eight players hit with the franchise tag. We'll go over all of that with Ian Rappaport on this show. We're also going to break down the Dallas Cowboys with Jane Slater. Are there any talks going on between Dak and the Cowboys? What's happening there, Steve? Lance Zierlein also joins the show. He was on the field in Indianapolis talking about all these quarterbacks who help themselves, who hurt themselves, and we get into a wide receiver debate, because I have something I want to say about where he has these top wide receivers. And then we also have Mark Ross, also was in Indianapolis, breaking down cornerbacks. How about what happens inside the building, deciding these tags, Steve, as well as speed versus just being a football player at the wide receiver spot? Loaded, loaded show.
A loaded, loaded show. And JP, we saw on Monday, as you mentioned, eight players get franchise tag. And we had one player get transition tagged, but the one position where we did not see a player get tagged was running back. After last year, we saw players like Saquon Barkley get tagged. So all these running backs, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Zach Moss, they are about to hit the market. So let's chop it up about these running backs, because as we know, on the free agent market, it has not served these running backs well. That is a depressed economic market. When you look at some of these players, JP, I'm expecting most of them to land in different places. But one, do you think they're going to get the dollars that they desire? But two, how much could a change of scenery not only help the player, but help the team that acquires that player?
You see, what we're going to get a chance to see is how other teams feel about these players. We know how the Giants feel about Saquon Barkley, right? How does the rest of the league right now, with his injury history, but also his really dynamic play, dual threat as a runner and catching the football, how do other teams, say maybe the Dallas Cowboys or the Houston Texans or any other team that plays in the great state of Texas, feels about Saquon? We are now, for the first time, going to have an opportunity where we really see if the value could be there in going after these running backs. The other part that plays a factor in this is that the salary cap went up $30 million. There's some more space in there to give a couple extra dollars. You know, running back agents are going to be saying this to guys like Saquon and to guys like, we didn't mention him, Steve, Derrick Henry possibly landing somewhere, who was kind of an anomaly at his age. Where are these players valued? We're going to get our first opportunity to see that. And I think that's the fascinating point of this offseason, because you compound that with the lack of running back talent coming out in this draft. Our own Daniel Jeremiah, not a single running back in the top 50. There are deep number of running backs. There's different style of running backs, but there is money to give them. Will it find their way to their hands? That's the part I'm still not entirely sure.
I don't see it. I don't see it, James. We have seen these teams keep the running market depressed year after year. You're seeing young running backs, you know, guys in their first and second year, like a Kyron Williams with the Rams, come in and deliver on a rookie contract from a mid-round pick that, you know, instead of paying Derrick Henry $12 or $13 million, you're getting similar statistics out of that type of young running back. And guess what? When you look at Saquon Barkley, when you look at Josh Jacobs, when you look at Derrick Henry, did their teams make the playoffs? No. So that's what their teams are saying. Mm. We can lose without you. Right now, I'm not saying the Raiders are going to try to get rid of Josh Jacobs. You know, we've heard Antonio Pierce say, we know who stirs the drink on the offense. And Josh Jacobs is that type of player. But I'll also say this, and you mentioned it. If Saquon Barkley goes to a Dallas, or Derrick Henry goes to Baltimore, or Josh Jacobs goes to a different team, they're going to help. These are very good players who can find themselves, because they have the choice to now, put themselves maybe even at less money in winning situations. And I think that's a very big deal, JP. These players also have the choice to say, that team's got a good offensive line, that team runs a zone stretch run scheme that fits my style better instead of the power scheme that I've been in. Let me try and go get to that. So, JP, let's also, though, the quarterback market is very interesting, because we continue to hear that Baker Mayfield could be somebody who returns to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after playing on a one-year, $5 million deal last year and really putting himself in a situation to make money. He wasn't tagged. He's going to become available to sign with another team next week unless him and the Buccaneers can come to a deal. So let's play a little game show here, JP. What free agent quarterback out there right now might be, or even a guy who gets traded, who gets cut, might be the next Baker Mayfield, the guy to play on a one-year deal and cash in the following year?
Now, you mentioned cash in. The part you forgot there, Steve, this deal could be well over $30 million that Baker Mayfield is going to sign, yeah. And that is a massive jump from the five. So who is the guy that can play that role? I'm going to really wow you with this one. What if it's Mac Jones? Now, he is not released. He obviously still is under contract, but it would probably take a sixth rounder to trade for Mac Jones right now, even if you're giving that. But this is a guy that experienced probably quarterback malpractice in New England. Remember that rookie season?
Yes, he
finished second for rookie of the year. They had 10 wins. They went to the postseason. Then he has a defensive coordinator and a special teams coordinator as co-offensive coordinators the next year. Things go awry the following season. I go back to the evaluators I talked to, Steve, when he was coming out, and it was, he is the best processor in this draft, and it's not even close in terms of information. I had one quarterback coach tell me, anything you tell him, he will spit it back to you in terms of coverage, in terms of progressions, in terms of offensive line alignments. What are all of those things kind of point at? A lot of offenses that are run around the NFL right now, you look at those are all the things that Sean Payton is really looking for.
Yep.
The craziest aspect of why I bring this up, in Indianapolis, Steve, two different offensive coaches that work with the quarterback, one an offensive coordinator, one a quarterback coach, said if Mac Jones was taken third overall by Kyle Shanahan, they would have at least one Super Bowl right now. Could Mac Jones be the one with a change of scenery that does the Baker Mayfield? We'll see. Who do you got?
I'm not even tolerating backhanded Brock Purdy slander. None of that here. That's where the real MVP lives on this show, so we are not... Get out of here
with
that.
That's true.
I would agree. If Mac Jones goes to the right situation to Sean Payton, and I think even Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota, he might have an opportunity. Okay, but I'm gonna go way out here. Laugh at me. Jameis Winston, right? Jameis Winston, he's had his opportunity.
He
had it in Tampa. He had some in New Orleans. Well, let's say he goes to a place like Seattle, right? He goes there to back up Geno. Gets his opportunity to play. First off, Jameis is going to win over a locker room, right? He's going to win over the community. He's one of the most well-liked dudes in the NFL for a lot of different reasons. He's a character, but he's somebody who's also like one of these really sweet, absolutely community-driven guys. But we know he can throw the ball. And if he gets with a team like Seattle, with Jack Smith and Jigba, with DK Metcalf, with Tyler Lockett, with a running game and all those strong offensive linemen that they have, a big arm like his playing in weather like that, that could be temperamental. Jameis Winston might be a guy who can play himself back into the conversation. I know a lot of people are going to look at me crazy. Guess what? I'm going to look at you crazy back. Because we're playing a game show in this segment right now, and that's what we do. Okay? It's not pin the tail on the donkey. It's not darts.
I love that.
We're just playing a game show. But, JP, speaking of quarterback, Lance Zierlein, our draft analyst, came out with his mock draft 2.0, and he only has four quarterbacks going in the first round? Oh, we're getting ready to find out what's going on in the mind of Lance Zierlein. We come back on the NFL
Tackles
report.
Taking up all those spots.
Pull the tape, LC.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.
All right, we're back at the NFL Report. I'm Steve Weitz with my guy James Palmer. And Lance Zierlein, our draft analyst, just released his mock draft 2.0. Caleb Williams, number one, no surprise. And we have Jaden Daniels and Drake May, all quarterbacks going in the top three. And look at number nine. Lance Zierlein has the Broncos trading up to get Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. JP, what do you say we bring in Lance Zierlein? Of course, you can find his mock draft on NFL.com. And let's start right there, Lance. Number nine, the Denver Broncos making the move to go get J.J. McCarthy. And in this decision, was it harder to see the Broncos moving up or selecting McCarthy with that pick?
No, it was harder to see them moving up. Look, they have limited draft capital this year. But, you know, by cutting, you know, you cut Russell Wilson, you're going to take a cap hit this year. You're going to take a cap hit next year. I just thought J.J. McCarthy is one of these guys that really makes a lot of sense with Sean Payton. Sean Payton, this is year three for him. He needs to start moving in the right direction. And I think if J.J. McCarthy is still there at nine and the Bears are willing to move back, which I think they may based on how I have the board shaking out and what their needs are, because they could go pass rusher. They could go with wide receiver. So if they were to move back, you know, I know it's an aggressive move. You'd probably have to deal a future second-round pick in next year's draft, but it would still give Sean Payton, a quarterback, really run his offense. He's a very efficient quarterback, J.J. McCarthy. He's still getting better. I thought he did a nice job, Steve, the second half of the drills at the combine, where he really did some nice self-correcting. He threw great deep balls. He's a very accurate passer, intermediate and deep. And so I think this is just an aggressive move to try to quickly right the ship for a failed quarterback mistake with Russell Wilson.
I kind of like this, Lance, because Bucky Brooks, your coworker, our coworker, was on the show a couple of weeks ago, said, I see some Justin Herbert in J.J. McCarthy. We all know where Sean was looking to maybe land after that year off, or crossing his fingers maybe, that it would be with Justin Herbert and the Chargers, but he's now in Denver, maybe gets a similar style of quarterback. You have Drake May there at the number three spot. You kind of think him throwing or not throwing helped or hurt him in the eyes of evaluators after your time in Indy, Lance?
You know, I think the third pick is one of the hardest ones to first of all, it starts with Washington. Do they go quarterback? I'm assuming yes. Is it Daniels or May? That's more than likely going to be the choice at number two. But let's just say Daniels goes two and May goes three. Think about this. You had picks number one and potentially two not working out. You're the biggest guy with the biggest arm at the combine in terms of the guys who are likely to be first round picks, and you didn't work out at the combine. Now, I understand it's a choice that you have to make based on the fact that you're throwing to guys who maybe you're not going to have the same timing with, and I understand that. But CJ Stroud threw there. Anthony Richardson threw there. Will Levis threw there last year. Two of those guys went number two and number four. One was Offensive Rookie of the Year. So I think with Drake May, you know, yes, touch and accuracy can be an issue for him, but also that stage, you know, that stage where he could have walked out of there as the most talked about quarterback prospect instead of Michael Penix and J.J. McCarthy. Mm-hmm. I think that would have been huge for Drake May. So I don't know if he hurt himself, but I certainly think there was an opportunity to help himself had he worked out.
Yeah, but, you know, for guys like McCarthy and even Caleb Williams, they say their draft position is pretty set. They probably only hurt themselves if they participate in the combine. That's always something they've got to weigh. But in your mock draft, and JP, I'm going to let you jump in real quick, but in your mock draft, Lance, you only got four quarterbacks going in the first round. Okay? JP, I want you to pick up because you got a point you want to make right here.
Well, I want to make it. John Beck on our last show, Steve, said that C.J. Stroud opting to throw at the combine, the number of texts, Lance, that Beck said he got after C.J. decided to throw, where they said they watched the film, they thought the ball came out of his hand well, but when all those coaches can stand right behind him on the field and see it come out of his hand, they were wowed by C.J. Stroud. And I think you're right. That's something Drake May could have went out and done. Is there anybody with these quarterbacks, as Steve's kind of alluding to, the ones you have going in the first round, anybody kind of have that happen to them at this combine where maybe there was one perception and it was slightly maybe increased because they did decide to throw?
You know, actually, it went the other way for Bo Nix. I didn't think it came out of his hands the way I expected it to. And you are right. That is something when you're on the field, and I saw Richardson throw, and I thought Carson Wentz had that happen when he was on the field. It just came out differently for him. And, of course, he was the second pick of the draft with the Philadelphia Eagles in 2016. I thought that, you know, J.J. McCarthy was about like what I expected. Not a big arm. It's good enough. I think Bo Nix is good enough, but I expected Bo Nix to really have a plus arm. I thought on tape he looked like he had a plus arm. And really in the combine workout, that I came away wanting more from his arm. Now, he throws accurately, and he does everything he needs to do, but there was not the same zip on those throws that I thought I was expecting to see. So it worked the other way with him. But I do think that with Drake May, there would have been a huge, huge emphasis. I think all those – the people standing behind, and you'll see me somewhere in there if you slow down the tape. I was watching. You can feel a quarterback's arm.
There's Lance. Really, I see him.
There I am. Yeah. You can see me getting that shot of Joe Milton's throw. I can promise you that. That was unbelievable. But, Steve, you asked about four quarterbacks. I think what I just talked about with Bo Nix is he may have himself out of the first a little bit. I think the Senior Bowl and maybe the combine, he looks solid. But are you taking solid quarterback, the fifth one off the board in the first round, instead of some of those pass rushers, cornerbacks, wide receivers? I don't think so. And then, you know, similarly, Michael Penix, he had a good combine, but he also has four season-ending injuries back-to-back-to-back-to-back in his background. And I think, you know, he'll be a 25-year-old rookie. These are things that are hard to get away from in the first round, but a team also may look at Penix and say, look, he's going to be a 25-year-old rookie. Let's get that extra year on him. Let's take him at the back end of the first. So hard to say what's going to happen with the fifth quarterback or who it's going to be, but I think it's going to be between Bo Nix and Penix. But I don't see six quarterbacks in the first round. I don't see that happen.
All right, so we're assuming that, you know, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels, who did not throw, they're going to be among the top three picks. But I want to get to some of these wide receivers because Marvin Harrison.
Let's go.
Didn't work out at the combine.
Nope.
Doesn't plan to work out at his pro day, but I don't think any of us is going to think this is going to negatively impact his draft status. But what about, you know, you just talked about Drake May not throwing, and maybe that didn't necessarily help him. What about this approach that Marvin Harrison has done? Because this is pretty unique.
It's a bold choice, Cotton, to not do anything from a draft standpoint is a very bold choice. But I think you make a very fair point, Steve. I think that, you know, does he have to? No, he doesn't necessarily have to, and people know who he is. But I do think that the general public has just for years, or at least for the entire year, just assumed Marvin Harrison Jr. is a top wide receiver and Caleb Williams is generational. I don't know that either of those are accurate. I don't think Caleb Williams is generational. People throw that term around way too much.
Oh,
but more
boy.
Importantly, Malik Nabers on a lot of people's boards and teams boards is number one. It's not a clean sweep for Marvin Harrison like people think. And I think Roma Dunze is a legitimate contender as well. So I think those top three guys, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, I have it Nabers one in the draft for me. He's 1-1 in the draft. I don't think he'll go first, obviously, but wow, he's the top player in this draft. And Marvin Harrison is my second favorite player in this draft. And then we get down to Caleb Williams. But I think Odunze, Nabers, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is a much more close battle than people would expect. And I think the boards are going to look vastly different on how teams rate the top three wide receivers, because I've already had those conversations. And so I do think the race to be the first wide receiver is going to be a good one.
All right, let's put Lance's board back up there, because I would think, being an Ohio State Buckeye myself, I would think Arizona would put Marvin Harrison Jr. right there at number four, going to Arizona. I want to press the button here a little bit, Lance, because I have a feeling that there's a little bit of, I don't want to say exhaustion or just, we've been talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. for so long, and I mean like the last 2 years, that is that impacting him in a negative fashion in some way? Because I've spoken to Garrett Wilson, I've spoken to Chris Olave, I've spoken to Jackson Smith and Jigba, three first-round picks that were in that wide receiver room with Marvin Harrison Jr. at Ohio State, and all three of them that were first-round picks, one of them a rookie of the year, all say Marvin Harrison Jr. is better than each of them. Are we just having a little bit of fatigue here because we've been talking about Marvin for so long?
See, not for me. I have Marvin Harrison Jr. rated higher than all three of those guys.
You got him too, Lance.
Yeah, I've got him higher, but here's the problem. Malik Nabers is going to be a 4.3 40 guy. We won't get a time on. Most people think Marvin Harrison's going to be a mid 4.4 to higher 4.4 wide receiver, which is fine. That's obviously not a problem. But it's really going to get down to flavor here. Like, Marvin's very polished. We understand that. But I don't know. Look, if his name wasn't Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't know that this is like some lock that people think he's automatically the guy.
Come on, man.
I know his name. No, he's a great Lance. Wide receiver. He's a great wide receiver. I'm not saying he's number two in my game of 68, which is really high. I'm just saying I don't understand why anyone could actually watch tape and not see what Malik Nabers is capable of. This is what I'm running into, guys, is I'm running into people who just – have decided that it's only Marvin Harrison and that's it. And I'm telling you now, I've talked to one team for sure with the top five pick that could use wide receiver who has Marvin Harrison third behind Odunze and Malik Nabers one. So it's going to be different. I'm just telling you, it's a lot different when you talk to teams than what the public thinks. But let's remember this too. You talk about being fatigued, the fatigue of Marvin Harrison Jr. Yes, for what we do, that's correct, potentially. However, it doesn't really affect me because I've already got their grades down and I'm just trying to think like NFL teams. And NFL teams don't get fatigued of a player. They have to pick the best player that gives them the best chance to win. So whoever Arizona has at number four, you know, they're going to make that the first wide receiver off the board. And if it's Harrison, more power to him. Draft the guy you think is number one. You want a real wild card. What if the rumor about Baker Mayfield maybe being, you know, in play for, what if he's in play for New England and Elliott Wolf and Alonzo Highsmith and those guys who had him in Cleveland? What if they were to do that and then with the third pick take a wide receiver? Then all hell breaks loose because Arizona would have a huge opportunity to either trade back and let someone come up for a quarterback.
Oh, Arizona's trading
take
down
their
then.
Best, yeah, they're coming you know, down. Or take their, yeah. I mean, so listen, it may not be as clean as my mock. Frankly, if you had flip-flopped the wide receivers, you guys would probably say this is just a normal-looking board. However, it never goes normal. When does it ever go like we think it's going to go? It never does.
No.
And Lance, I love the hot sauce. And I'm really hoping that there's a situation where it gets all stirred up like this. We have to get out. But one thing, and I know you probably heard this too, I know you said Malik Nabers, and everyone says he is a dog. Like he's like Devontae Adams. Every snap in practice is like the last play he's ever going to play. But Brian Thomas, his LSU teammate, I've spoken to some people who say he's more naturally gifted than Malik Nabers, and he is starting to realize to get that dog in him, that daily grind in him where he is not nearly at his peak. There's a lot of room to grow. That's a player to look out for. Lance, I'd love to get your opinion on this. I had to tag it. I'm in my ear saying we got to get out. We got to get you back, brother. We love having you on, my man.
No, that's good. Let's do it.
I want it. So that may go.
I may go straight to Twitter and start tweeting about this right now.
Let's do it. Let's do it. All right, man. Hey, Lance Zierlein, once again, check out his mock draft on NFL.com. It is good stuff. And coming up, Jane Slater, our Cowboys insider, is going to let us know the latest on the Dak Prescott negotiations. Is it going to be a long-term deal? Or has Jerry Jones got something up his sleeve? We're going to find out next on the NFL Report.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com, C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
You're listening to the NFL Report podcast, but you can watch me, Steve Weich, and my co-host James Palmer on the NFL Report at 7:15 Eastern Time on Mondays and Thursdays on the NFL app and free streaming platforms on the NFL channel, on Roku, Tubi, Peacock, Pluto TV, and other free streaming apps.
Welcome back to the NFL Report. James Palmer alongside Steve Weich. Here are the franchise tagged players within the NFL. We had a bunch of them this year. T. Higgins right there at the top. You look at the number for the wide receiver, Steve. Woo-hoo-hoo. Man, but the thing I want to talk about with NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport is not everybody is either going to A, play on the tag, or B, play on the team that tagged them. Well, it almost sounds like we're playing a game in the schoolyard, doesn't it? Ian, what I want to bring you in, and thank you for joining us, is maybe when you look at this list, is there anybody that jumps out at you? I know we've heard the rumblings of L'Jarius Sneed has been tagged, and then there is talk of a possible trade. Is there anybody on this list, and we'll start there, that this tag just allows them to kind of work further and maybe having them play somewhere else?
Yeah, I mean, L'Jarius Sneed is the obvious one. I know he has permission to seek a trade. His agent has permission to talk to other teams. Like, anything is possible. I think playing on the one-year tag also possible for the Chiefs. They're also trying to get Chris Jones done. If Chris Jones does get done, it's going to be a very, very, very large deal, potentially in the $30 million range, so they need some space. A trade makes sense, and L'Jarius Sneed is a very, very good player. Someone needs a really good player, would probably be the top, would definitely be the top corner on the market. So that makes sense. As far as who, just a lot of cornerback needy teams, honestly. I mean, teams like the Colts, the Titans, the Patriots, the Lions, there's a lot of them. And so I think, yeah, trade is possible. As far as the others, I mean, obviously we know there's been interest from other teams in potentially trading for Brian Burns. The Carolina Panthers have always rebuffed that interest. They have a new GM now. You sort of wonder if that is still in the same place. I think the others, you know, potentially could be looking at long-term deals. And, you know, usually this is something we deal with in July.
Okay.
Much to my chagrin, interrupts my golf season. There's some indications that some of the deals might come sooner. You know, I would say, for instance, the Bucs and Antoine Winfield have negotiated a potential long-term deal. The Colts and Michael Pittman have done the same. We'll see if some of those deals, potential Jalen Johnson with the Bears, see if some of those deals can get done sooner rather than later.
An interesting name on this list to me, though, is Justin Madubuike, the DND tackle for the Baltimore Ravens. He's getting ready to see Stone Cold Chris Jones get paid and Christian Wilkins get paid, whereas he's locked down in a one-year franchise tender. I mean, when you're a player like him, a young guy who just is coming off a fantastic season, and you're going to see players your position get paid, might the Ravens be working on a longer-term deal with him to bring him more in line with those guys? Or is he a player that we're likely going to see play out in a one-year tag?
Well, I think the hope is to lock him in a long-term deal. And, you know, this defensive tackle market for years was all over the place, right? I mean, you had the Aaron Donald contract, then you had a bunch of guys really low, and then there just wasn't a lot of structure there to kind of help align deals. And then you had Jeff Simmons, then you have Quinnen Williams.
Right.
Obviously, Chris Jones from a couple years ago. This market is getting much more well-defined now. My guess is you get through free agency, you see where Christian Wilkins ends up. Does he get to like 23? Does he get to like 25? That would probably go a long way in dictating where Justin Madubuike lands. He's really good, and if he was a free agent, he'd be right with Wilkins as being the top defensive tackle. My guess is you get through free agency, you see where the salary slots in, and then you say basically, can we do a deal off of these terms? And my guess is both sides are pretty reasonable. My guess is something can get done.
Ian, I want to kind of stay right there because you and I were in Indianapolis. We talked to every team, and I'm hearing from multiple teams, I need defensive tackles. We are in need of them, and there's not a lot of them in this draft. What is the buzz when you look at Christian Wilkins and you look at maybe if Chris Jones can get to the point to where they can start talking to other teams? Where, like, is that, I guess, deficiency that some teams are nervous or talking about drive these guys' number up potentially during free agency?
Well, yeah, and you know, the draft is separate from free agency, but it's also kind of not. Because if you're a team, like, there's not a ton of top tier offensive tackles in this free agency market, right? I mean, you have a couple. Tyron Smith, who now is going to be free, going to make a really good salary. There's a couple, but not a ton. And you look in the draft, and there's like, could be like 8 first round offensive tackles. So teams would be like, you know what? If I don't get a tackle in free agency, I'll probably be okay. I'll probably find one. Basically the opposite for defensive tackles. You can't find these guys. Guys like Christian Wilkins, guys like Justin Madubuike, Chris Jones, you can't get them. So yeah, I mean, I think the market drives their salaries up. And I think if you're the Chiefs, look, the Chiefs are an awesome team. They're very well-rounded. You can't look at what the Chiefs did on defense and say, eh, they'd be fine without Chris Jones. He helps make that whole thing go. Teams recognize that. So it's not only like the Chiefs want to re-sign Chris Jones because he's awesome. It's also other teams are like, I need my own Chris Jones. That would help.
All right, and we want you to go out and get in a couple rounds of 18 over the next couple of days before the free agency legal tampering period starts on Monday.
Like, so Ian's playing golf.
Golf season starts next Friday.
Yeah, there you go, brother. That's right. Hey, well, hit him straight until then. We appreciate you.
Come on, cheerleader, we need you.
All right, here we go, ready?
Gotta love this, man. You gotta love it.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
Wait, take.
Meet y'all in the end zone.
Throws back of the end zone. There's CeeDee Lamb.
Once you do something like that, you gotta score.
I can't come back to the sideline without a touchdown.
We'll do this again next week, man. Win on three. 1, 2, 3, win.
James Palmer, we are now joined by our Jane Slater. And Jane, we saw Dak Prescott, who's got the fresh new goatee. It looks like he's out of Kung Fu Theater with that new look right there. But the big question with the Cowboys is a contract extension for Dak. Jerry Jones is kind of like, hey, we'll get it done when we get it done. And I just want to know, have there been any conversation between the Cowboys and Prescott or his representation?
Real quick, it's funny, any information as it relates to Dak, whether it be the haircut, the tattoos, it goes viral. He is good for business here in Dallas.
He's a papa
Jerry
too.
Loves to keep things in the sideline and in the headlines, right? And he's a new dad, a girl dad, so very excited for his young daughter, MJ. You know, interestingly enough, Steve, I reached out to a source informed, and he told me that there have not been any discussions with Todd France, Dak's agent.
So, in saying that then, Jane, what are we to kind of take from the fact that there's been no talks right now? I mean, is it something like they're prioritizing, we'll get to that when we get to it? Or do you think there's going to be a sense of urgency? Because Dak right now is about to hold up a significant part of their salary cap flexibility, because what's his number, around $60 million?
Yeah.
$60 million. And yes, Steve, I was surprised to learn that Todd France and Dak Prescott's team have not talked with the Cowboys. But I want to be careful because I, again, when we talked and started the segment, anything you put out there about Dak goes viral. I'm not saying that the fact that these two sides haven't talked is a bad thing. I fully anticipate that this deal is going to get done, but I think it's going to be closer to August. Now, that might make you scratch your head, right? Because you've got the draft, and if he's not the future of your franchise, wouldn't you want to, I don't know, draft a quarterback, elevate Trey Lance, figure out what you're going to do with maybe Kirk Cousins, maybe one of those guys out there. But that's just not the Cowboy way. I think both sides know that this thing is going to get done, guys. It's just Todd France and the Cowboys. If you go back to the deal that they had last time, man, this thing got interesting. And remember, this one seemed like it happened at the last hour, but Todd France and Dak Prescott got exactly what they wanted. Essentially, they wanted a shorter deal so they could do what they're trying to do right now, maximize the APY. And they also got included in that short-term deal a no-trade clause and a no-franchise tag, which is why we find ourselves here. I think that as much as we say, look, Dak's got a lot of leverage because of that, I think he's got a lot of leverage mostly because of his durability, with the exception of two seasons. He has been very durable as a starter. The thing that unfortunately is muddying the waters and making some of those complications with some of the negotiating is the 2-5 record in the postseason, and then those two interceptions against a young Green Bay team at home where we saw fans going to the exits in the fourth quarter. So obviously that was frustrating, but you've got to put some pieces around Dak. I think namely the running back situation has got to get addressed. And then you've got to figure out what you're going to do with CeeDee Lamb's contract, because I think we all know an extension for him is going to be a costly one. And I see him being a priority for the future and figuring out what they're going to do with him moving forward.
Man, I would just get this deal done as fast as possible, guys. I mean, you look at that $60 million. If it's free agency, which you're saying, Jane, right? No tag, none of that. The number's going to be just as big anyway, if not bigger. You look at his age. You look at the other quarterbacks this offseason that are going to be getting deals. None of them were runner-up for the MVP this past season, are going to be in that right at the beginning of their 30s where they could be hitting free agency. It's just, man, this is just a wild one to watch as everybody just kind of sits on their hands apparently a little bit. Another spot that we want to look at, Jane, is behind Dak Prescott. The running back situation, you look what they did with tagging Tony Pollard, and you look at kind of the lack of run game that they had as the season went on. What is, in your mind, do you think is going to be the greatest path for them to get back on track running the football?
Well, I think that they need to go in there and get a big-bodied veteran, right? And you do have guys like Derrick Henry that are out there, Austin Eckler, DeAndre Swift. There's a lot of free agents. Running backs, we've seen them become devalued in recent years. I always just laugh when I think about when they're going through those contentious contract talks with Ezekiel Elliott a couple years back. I was told by a source, we don't believe that Zeke deserves Todd Gurley type money. And I bring this story up a lot because remember Todd Gurley was done shortly after that. And then they sort of regretted what they were paying to Zeke in these remaining years. And of course, then they released him and they wanted Tony Pollard to be the heir apparent. Well, Tony Pollard had his lowest yards per carry. He was not as productive as they had wanted him to be. Rico Dowdle and the guys behind him, Malik Davis, they didn't really do much. And so they're allowing Rico Dowdle and Tony Pollard to go out and test the market. Now, I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility that maybe Pollard could come back on a reduced salary. But I never thought that he was, the number one guy. And I say that because of so many people that I talked to. A lot of people really, truly believed, why not bring Zeke back on a smaller deal? Let him be a third down back, not an every down back. Now, I'm told they're very high on Jonathan Brooks, the Texas guy that, of course, as a Texas alum, I'm very familiar with, guys. He would be a, round two guy for them to target. He's going to be one of their 30 visits. So that's someone that they're high on and at least gives you a sense of where they're prioritizing picking a running back in the draft. But I think that running back room just in general is going to look completely different. And then even if they go and get running backs, guys, we haven't seen much from Mike McCarthy and his offense to suggest that he's going to run the ball. He's promised that every year that he's been here, and they've sort of moved away from it. And you can understand why they do at times, right? You've got guys like now Brandon Cooks, and you've got CeeDee Lamb. But I think that's going to be a very interesting one to watch. Derrick Henry does work out here in Dallas at Sanders Fit. I think he would love to be part of the Cowboys, but we'll just see what that number looks like. As the Cowboys always say, they've got only certain pieces of the pie. So it's going to be interesting to see how this works. And if the Cowboys are, in fact, going to go all in, guys, because some of the moves that they've made this year don't give us a lot of confidence that they are. Because if they work, they get this Dak Prescott thing figured out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, that's how come they might not be able to offer $12 million to Saquon Barkley or something like that, because Dak's not done. Jane, we got about 40 seconds here. We saw them get rid of Tyron Smith, the superstar left tackle, but he's definitely gotten up there in age. How could the Cowboys address the offensive line to enhance that run game and to protect Dak a little bit better?
Look, I think for some people, it's probably surprising that they're moving on from Tyron Smith. But, you know, we saw him at right tackle last year because of the success that Tyler Smith was having over there. They've done a good job at drafting offensive linemen. I tell you, if the Cowboys were smart, they draft another offensive lineman in the first round. Every time they draft a offensive lineman in the first round, it tends to work out pretty good for them. And examples that I would use, Zach Martin, Travis Frederick, and Tyron Smith. I do think there's a lot of depth for the offensive line in the draft this year. So let's see where they go and move there. But they have been able to get by without Tyron Smith, unfortunately, here in recent years. And I think that's been part of the equation as to why they're moving on here.
Unbelievable. I would say a fascinating offseason, Jane, for the Dallas Cowboys, but I think it's like every offseason is a fascinating offseason. But I might put this one right at the top with the way they're playing this staring game with Dak Prescott and Todd France. Jane, thank you so much for joining us. Wonderful to have you. We'll have you multiple times before we get to the draft here on the NFL Report. Coming up, Mark Ross is going to join us, who was one of those guys standing on the field watching the Underwear Olympics. Steve, what does he think about measurements in terms of speed in these drills compared to just maybe a guy's a football player? We'll break all that down during the draft evaluations that happen in team rooms next on the NFL Report.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. Symbiotica.com.
All right, welcome back to the NFL Report. Steve Weitz, James Palmer, JP. We're now joined by Mark Ross, the former front office executive with the Eagles, with the Giants. Also, was on the field at the Combine last week and getting us a bird's eye view. Mark, we got a lot of stuff we want to hit you about. I mean, we're covering a lot of bases, but I want you to go back when you're wearing your Armani suits in the front office. And you still wear your Armani suits when you're wearing them in the front office. And we've seen already this week, 8 players get franchise tagged, 1 player get transition tagged. What goes into the decision to tag a player versus extending him or letting him walk?
Well, ideally, you do want to extend them, Steve and James. I mean, that's your goal, is that you draft the good players and you want to have as many good players as possible. And then you don't want to get to this point with your cap guy and with your head coach and your owners and your front office staff. You're saying, okay, let's identify these players we know we want to have around and try to get to that extension a year or two early and make things work. When you get to this point, you haven't made it work for one reason or another. So, you know, ideally, I think all of these teams that just tag their guys, they would have rather have had extensions done with them and say, you know, we want you here for the long haul. Now, there are times where you tag a guy. It's like, well, bet on yourself. Let's see what it gets to at that certain point. We need another year to see what it is. Or now more so, I mean, I think there this year has been a ton of them, you know, where it's almost like a holding spot for, okay, well, let's just put this on here now. We couldn't get to where we wanted to go. Now this buys us more time to get something done with our guys. So a lot of different variables, guys, but ideally, you know, you don't want to be at this point if you're any of these teams.
Mark, I want to stay there real quick because you said a lot of different variables. How much does the position the player plays come into account when you're looking to make certain tags? And how much does the landscape of that position, whether it be the draft or other free agents available, play into account when you're trying to figure out if tagging's the right way to go?
Well, James, you hit on all that. For people don't know that there are different positions get different number, you know, when they get tagged, depending on the what it is there. That's why Micah Parsons got designated, you know, linebacker versus DN there, the difference in the money there. But yeah, you always have to look at that and say, all right, are we willing to let this guy walk? And okay, let's look at whether we tag this guy or let him go. What's the free agent market looking at in the DB spot or versus the draft? And all right, I know we might lose our guy, lose Brian Burns, but okay, we'll go get somebody else because it's so robust with the free agent market or with the draft. So all of that goes into it. And of course, there's premier positions of that you want to look at to say, well, that receiver or corner is more important than a guard. So we don't want to do that. And, you know, also it's where your team is and where if you're up at the top, you think you got Super Bowl aspirations and you've got this guy that all right, we got to have him for another year. We're going to make this push. Well, then we got to do it. But if you're, hey, we're up and coming, we need more assets. We need more cap space. We need more value. Then you might let him go and you might not tag. So it's not just the positions, but it's also where your team is and how you're looking on the horizon with maybe some young guys you have on the team as well.
Yeah, one thing we're going to see these franchise tag guys, if they go to their offseason workouts, if they hold in, remember, guys don't hold out anymore because the fines are so excessive.
You got to be there.
That's also part of it. So, Mark, now let's go back to last weekend, Indianapolis, when you were at the Combine, and you came up with a fantastic topic that you wanted to discuss, and that's the guys who come out and they test. I mean, they blow things out of the water. And let's look at some of these DBs, like, you know, Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, right? He's someone who's highly rated as it is. Nate Wiggins out of Clemson, busted a 4.28, right? But how does that compare in the evaluation when the tape says, like, Terrion Arnold out of Alabama, who ran a 4.5, or Renardo Green out of Florida State, who's a 4.49, still blazing fast times, but by today's standards, he's got concrete in his cleats. how do you compare, like, the guys who blow that testing out of the water versus dudes who show up over and over again on Saturday?
That's always a big dilemma for scouts. It always has been. Now just the numbers have just gotten so insane, guys, where a 4.5, 4.49 a few years ago, 5-6 years ago, it's like, man, these guys are flying. And as you mentioned, it's like, well, these guys are slow now. Well, no, they're not. It's just those other guys are just historically fast. And each year they're getting faster and faster and more people are getting trained to run fast and not actually play fast. So that's when scouts really have to take in consideration of, are these numbers real? And you mentioned Arnold and Green, guys who are just instinctive, heady, tough football players. When you watch them, really quick, productive. They do all the things you want as a football player. Now Wiggins and Mitchell, when you watch them, okay, they need a little bit development, maybe not as instinctive. They may not have the X factors that the other guys have, but man, here they go and they're running, they're blowing this out. So you're betting on do we value the better players who may not have the super workout numbers, or do we value these guys that have this raw super speed jumping ability but need some development on the field? And that's where you really have to match up what your scouts are seeing, what your scouts are projecting. And also with your coaching staff, you always have to match up. Will your staff work with those kind of guys, you know, like a Mitchell and a Wiggins versus, you know, with Arnold and Green, they step in the door. They don't really have to be coached. They're going to go out there and ball out. They're going to play fast. They're going to do everything you want. Whereas the other guys that, hey, they need some development, and you really have to be in lockstep, the scouting staff and the coaching staff, to say, all right, we got this raw prospect. He's going to need some development, maybe need some time. Are you going to work with him? If they say yes, then you bring him in your building. If they say no or a little bit hesitant, that's where a lot of mistakes happen.
Mark, could you take us inside these draft rooms that you've been in? I mean, one name jumps out at me because I was following it so closely as a beat reporter in Houston when DeAndre Hopkins was coming out, and he runs a 4.57. And I remember talking to Keenan McCardell about it, who played the position at a brilliant level. He said, oh, he's pigeon-toed. That's not a great time. But when you actually just put on the tape and a guy is a football player, that's usually a term that's used in these meetings. Who usually pounds the table for certain guys? And how hard do you have to do it when the numbers aren't what certain people that value numbers really high aren't there? How do you convince everybody by just going at the tape?
Yeah, that's always a tough thing. Whenever you like a player and they go do that at the combine, you're like, oh my goodness. So I learned that earlier.
You're like,
on.
No.
You remember Anquan Boldin? I'll take you one step back even further.
Great
Florida
one.
State, when you watched Anquan Boldin play, that guy was the toughest, best player on the field. Every time he stepped on the field, he's throwing it, he's running it, he's returning, he's blocking people. And then he gets out there and runs a 4.7 something, goes to his pro day. I go to his pro day and he runs, you know, does it runs slow again. It's like, oh my goodness. Yet you're in the draft and you're talking about all these things he can do, but everyone's looking like, well, he ran 4.7. This guy can't play. And, you know, that's first round talent when you just watched him play. If he never ran, he probably still would have been, but okay, he got pushed down to the second round because of that 40 time. And, you know, it's so when you argue just about talent and routes and hands or whatever that position is versus raw number, you can easily say he's slow by just seeing that number. That's why scouts love the combine and pro days, because you can see that raw number. Whereas on the field, it's so subjective to say, no, he actually is fast. So it really is a battle the whole way. And that's when you're a scout, you really have to have conviction. You want to have those scouts with conviction, no matter what the numbers say. This guy can ball. It doesn't matter how high he jumps and how fast he runs on a clock.
I love all this talk about times and stuff because Darius Hayward-Bey's name just pops into my head. But on to another subject. We're not going to pick on Darius.
Yeah. I mean, John, let's just talk about John Ross. I mean, that knows Xavier Worthy's the guy now, 4-2-1. Then you don't want to say, well, the guy's record you beat, he didn't turn out to be a great player. Happy for Worthy and all of that, but
no.
You know, John Ross.
Real quick, Mark, about 40, 45 seconds. You're talking about the measurables versus being a football player. How much does that come into play when you're deciding on the defensive side, outside corners versus the slot corner or the slot safety?
Yeah, that slot is so important there where, you know, you got to almost be more heady. When you're outside, you know, it's not this simple, but hey, just cover this guy. You know, go run with him, press, mug him up. Whereas inside, there's so many more variables that go into play where you got to recognize that you got to be tough in there too, because that run game is coming at you quicker. You're usually going up against shiftier sort of inside guys who are that smart too. So you got to have that feel. Are we dropping in zone? Am I blitzing? So I think there's just so many more things that go into that slot position. And it's such a premier position now, you know, each year it's kind of gotten more and more valued of what that guy does in there. Whereas maybe way back, you just say, well, he's just a slot corner. But now, I mean, the way teams are throwing the ball, that third spot, that slot spot could be your premier position, your premier spot in your secondary. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, tremendous with the head and with the talent right there on the defense for sure.
Great stuff, Mark. We appreciate all of this insight. We got to have you back along the way. Again, so you're going to have to put on your Armani suit next time you come on.
I'll put the suit on next time. Yeah,
there you go. We got to have you.
I want to hear more stories like the Anquan Boldin story.
Yes. Mark. Start bagging them up. When we come back, we know our own Brian Baldinger is the most interesting man in the world. So we're going to find out the NFL team that's equivalent to Baldy to find out what's going to be the most interesting team of the offseason. JP and I are going to be chopping that up next on the NFL Report.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. C-Y-M-B-I-O. T-I-K-A.com.
Hey, it's James Palmer, and you're listening to the NFL Report podcast along with myself and Steve Weish. But remember, if you want to see our beautiful faces, this is a show at 7:15 Monday and Thursday. That's 7:15 p.m. Eastern, and we are on the NFL app, as well as fast streaming platforms. That's Tubi, that's Roku, that's Pluto, that's Peacock, all of those platforms, as well as the NFL.com/NFL channel. Find us all of those spots. Welcome back to the NFL Report. James Palmer, Steve Weish with you as we close things out. We've been missing our old pal, Brian Baldinger, who's just been somewhere on the planet Earth. He won't tell us where. And he's the most interesting man in the world, as Steve alluded to earlier. Most interesting team this offseason, Steve, will be who in your eyes?
I've got two. I've got the Washington Commanders and the Las Vegas Raiders, right? The Commanders, second overall pick. They've got about $90 million to spend in free agency, JP. They've got opportunity to turn this around quickly. The Raiders have nearly $50 million, but what are they going to do at quarterback? What are they going to do at some of their key positions as their defense rounded out last year? I am really intrigued to do because I think these are two teams we could be talking about beyond the offseason if they get it right.
And those are two teams that need a quarterback. I'll talk to a team that's got a lot of cap space, the fifth most in the NFL right now, and has a quarterback in Kyler Murray. How about the Arizona Cardinals?
I love
12
this.
Picks in this draft, seven in the top 105, and they have $56 million to play with in that fourth overall pick. I love how Lance talked about they could be a real interesting spot, Steve. If it doesn't happen with quarterbacks 1, 2, 3, they can trade back, still get the receiver that they're still maybe possibly looking for because of this deep wide receiver draft and accumulate more draft capital. I am watching what Ozzie is doing there. That's what I want to see, what Monty Asafort is doing. That's what I want to see, Steve.
All right, look, next week, we only have one show because Monday is the kickoff of the free agency legal tampering period. So we're only going to be on Thursday, and we're going to talk about those free agency signings. JP, we're going to be cannonballing off the 50-foot cliff with several guests to talk about the moves that the team made. So until then, I expect you to join Ian Rappaport on the golf course and to knock a couple in from the sixth hole. See you next week.
I won't. I'll be on the ski slopes.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
Get in zone.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
Get in zone.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.